few months ago, I started to get really serious about a practice of taking one full, complete day off of work, like no work at all. Do not even check the ad account. Don't even look in the morning. Don't check Slack. My clients know that they should only call or text if there's like truly an emergency, in which case they can do that. But otherwise, completely disconnected from work one day every single week, what some faith traditions, including my own, would call a Sabbath. And I want to tell you why I think it has been one of the best things I've done in a really long time. And I want to commend the same practice to you. So hello and welcome to the Andrew Ferris Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me once again, as always, for another episode of the show. Today, a little less tactical, a little less even business strategy oriented, but I think something relatable to nearly everybody who is in business in some way, to think about the organization of their work week, the rhythms they live in, and the way that those things create joy, fulfillment, and even better quality work at the end of the day. So I'm going to explain to you what I've been doing, why I've been doing it, why I think it's valuable, and hopefully it'll be some help to you as you organize your work week as well. Let's dive in. All right, let's talk about what it is exactly that I've been doing. And I'm going to tell you what it is, why I've been doing it, and then why I think it's been so valuable for me. So the simple practice, as I said in the intro, has been to set aside one day a week, for me it's Sunday, where I do absolutely no work at all. In fact, I turn my phone completely off for the day as well, at least for a lot of the day. I have small kids, so sometimes I got to leave the house. I'll take it there. Maybe I'll check in the middle of the day to see if you know my friends get together on Sundays a lot, so I just want to not miss that kind of thing. But if I do that, I'll like check my text, turn it off. No Twitter, no Slack, no nothing. And basically the goal of that is to get as much distance as possible, certainly no email, is to get as much distance as possible one day a week from work. And instead to make my mind as present as possible, on the other hand, with the other things that are going on in my life. Those things include my family, first and foremost, probably my wife and I have two small kids. And my friends, I'm very often gathered with friends. I said on Sundays, we'll get together, especially in the afternoons and evenings. Typically Sunday morning, it's just me and my family. But a lot of times on Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, friends are getting together, you know, hanging out in somebody's backyard, barbecuing. It's LA, so it's like always nice, basically, you know, have a drink, whatever. And so we will do that fairly often. And I want to be as present with that as possible. Go to church on Sundays. And, you know, I've talked before about my own faith background. I'm a Christian. And so that's a big part of my Sunday rhythm as well. And that's certainly the genesis of where I got this idea from. In the Old Testament, in the Bible, or the Hebrew Bible, if you're a Jewish person, there is the practice in the Ten Commandments of Sabbath. And the idea is take one day completely off of work. And in that context, the Sabbath is also built around the idea of recognizing your dependence on God and remembering that God ultimately is the one who supplies your needs. Now, you may not believe in God or anything like that, or you may have a different faith background. I understand that. Now, I believe in those things, but at the same time, I think there is very obvious wisdom in this that begins to get at some things that are really, really helpful. And so I want to break those down and tell you what's been so helpful about it to me. And I want to break it down both in a work and non-work kind of setting, because again, I think there's a lot of us who in some way or another can really relate to what the work week is like, especially a lot of us who are around sort of entrepreneur land. There's some kinds of businesses where there's just this way in which work eats up large parts of your life. I have some friends whose work really doesn't take up very much time outside of their like regular working hours. It's just like, it's not very hard for them to turn work off at the end of the day. I have other friends for whom it's really hard to turn work off. And most of the entrepreneur types have been around in sort of D2C land and beyond, really entrepreneurs in general, are really driven people, excited to get work done. You know, there's always something more to work on. I mean, I own my own business, right? So like, I can always go hammer away at generating more revenue or profit or solve more problems or whatever it is. It's always there for me. It's my business. There is no task list that gets finished and then I'm done. I did it all. It just never happens. And so that means that my life can very quickly become this creeping thing where work eats up all of my time. And while I would say I am not the kind of person who, you know, typically, partly because I have small kids, it's impossible. Work hasn't been the kind of thing that really takes up my definitive attention outside of work very often, particularly from like, you know, 5 o'clock when the workday ends until my kids go to bed at, you know, 7:30 or 8 or whatever. In those hours, it doesn't really do that much. But, you know, I might send a Marco Polo to somebody about a work thing or something like that because it's on my mind. But those are sort of idle thoughts that I'm kicking around with friends more than it is real work per se. So anyway, the point is, outside of that, it's possible, though, for work to kind of just, especially if I didn't have kids, for work to sort of creep into all of the corners of my life and to begin to take it over almost completely. And I think, you know, for people with kids, this can be the case. You just feel this weight in this sense, especially the higher up you go in companies, of this happening. And of course, there are some jobs that are famous for this, right? If you work in finance or something in New York City, you just are going to work 12 hours a day for a long time, if not more. And so there's this back and forth, you know, different places, different jobs have these different cultures. Well, entrepreneur land, as I like to think of it, D2C land, is the kind of place that creates that kind of thing. And some people are great about this. And one of the things I actually love is that it's also a little less cutthroat than something like finance. And therefore, you see people regularly saying, hey, go touch grass, go get outside the house, go do those things. And that's sort of celebrated. I don't think D2C land, entrepreneur land, is super hustle culture-y all the time, though there's some of that in the sense that it really becomes overwhelming. But I do think that, as I said, this really creeps. And so I have found that setting up a specific and repeatable process, which should be a relatable idea to anybody who's run a business, to generate the outcome that I want in my life has been really helpful. And that, I think, is what Sabbath basically is. It is a repeatable process. It is, in my life, it's borderline documented, right? I almost have a Notion card for it. I don't quite have that, but it's basically that. And it's this: I'm going to wake up on Sunday morning. I am not going to check my phone. I am not going to check my email. I am not going to check my ad accounts. I'm not going to do any of those things. And I'm going to, as much as possible, do that. And what I have been amazed at has been, in some ways, actually, how easy it has been once I've actually started to do it and how much I like it. I've come to understand experientially the wisdom of doing this in a way that I really didn't know deeply before, I think. In fact, I remember thinking of this idea and thinking, I don't know, I'm not a workaholic type. Does Sabbath really matter that much for me? In the ancient world in which the idea of Sabbath would have come about, right? 4,000 years ago or whatever it would have been, when the Ten Commandments were written or given originally, right? I mean, you had to work all the time because you were going to die, right? Like it was survival. And so the notion of taking a day off, I could imagine, was really daunting for people because, man, I mean, that is quite an act of trust in God at that point, because, you know, you're subsistence farming, basically. That's really, really hard work. It'll be tough. For me, I don't live on the edge of starvation, and I don't live on the edge of, you know, incredible disease that there's no cure for and those kinds of things all the time. So for me, it hasn't been that kind of thing. But anyway, that's the reason why I think that the wisdom nonetheless is really important, is that it can just kind of, like, again, work can just kind of float in and out of life all the time. But I think there is actually still wisdom to it, even if you aren't on the edge of starvation or whatever, right? So what I do is I completely check out from work. My clients know actually that I'm not available on Sunday. I just tell them that. I say, hey, just so you know, on Sundays, I'm going to be completely unavailable. My employees know that as well. I tell them, if there is a true, you know, like if something's on fire in the ad accounts, suddenly there's $50,000 in spend happening, don't wait till Monday to tell me. Like, I, you know, I'm more than happy to jump on real fast and take care of a true emergency. It's not like you don't have to be that rigid about it. It's just that, as a general rule, I'm not going to work on small things. I'm not going to even work on medium-sized things. I'm not even going to work on reasonably big things. I'm going to work on instead only things that are truly emergencies in the ad account. And they know, and if they want to do that, they should call me. I'll check my phone somewhere in the middle of the day for calls, texts, etc. I will not check Slack, and that'll be that. And that boundary gets set, and then I'm much more able to go spend some time doing these other things that are really important to me: family, friends, spirituality, all that kind of stuff. So the first thing I want to lay out is some work reasons to do this, actually. And the reason I would commend it to you at a basic work level. And the first of those is coming off of exactly what I just said, which is, it actually does a nice job, I think, of setting some boundaries immediately with both, you know, if you're with internal teammates and external teammates, right? So if you're the employees that are with you, as well as if you're in client services with clients. So consider that it says something to my clients and to other team members of mine internally, that there is a day where there is no work. That immediately sets a boundary for them to say, I am not always available. And what I have found is that, first of all, everybody understands that. Like, you know, I happen to be in a place in life and in work where I also can be sort of selective about clients. And if a client was like, no, I need you on all the time, I would say, well, then good luck. Let me give you a different agency recommendation, because I would not take that client. But it also just generally sets boundaries for them for the same thing. Often they're not necessarily trying to be rude or take up too much of my time. It's just that they have the same work creep thing that I was talking about earlier for me, right? That they're, I don't know, they're idly sitting by. They've been reading in the morning, finished breakfast, whatever. Maybe they go check their ad account and something looks a little bit off to them. And, or, you know, their Shopify's on their phone. And so then they just shoot a text over and say, whatever. Well, now they know I actually can't engage with that all the time. I need some time to shut my brain off. And it sets a boundary and begins to reinforce that idea that there are some boundaries. And there are plenty of client services people who know what it's like to feel like you've got six bosses telling you what to do every day, all the time. I've certainly had clients like that in the past that were just sort of really aggressive all the time. And setting that kind of boundary ends up being a really good signal for what's going to happen and what's not going to happen in your working life. Okay. Number two, and this is another really direct work thing, which is that it gives you space for broader thinking. Just because I am not working does not mean I never think about work during the day. Very often what I find, in fact, is that as I am more idly living, you know, not necessarily true idleness per se, but as I'm just sitting and reading a book that's not related to work, it's not a business book. That's another thing I don't do. I don't read business books on Sundays. I don't read a lot of business books in general, but I don't, you know, if I'm going to read something, it's going to be something that's going to be outside of work. And I'll explain a little bit more about that thinking in a second. But as I do those things, what happens is my brain puts together thoughts that then end up relating back to my work stuff. Because it turns out that your companies are just companies full of people and your products are products that people use. And it turns out people are more well-rounded than just work automatons or whatever and product buyers and consumers. There's more to it than all of that. And suddenly your brain is able, by spending some time away from the specific and located problems in your business, instead, your brain is able to go step back a little and think bigger, deeper, broader thoughts about all kinds of things related to work and to product and to customer and whatever else, and make larger connections. And I found regularly that this really helps me reapproach different businesses. I had a situation yesterday where I thought about, I'm recording this on a Monday, so I just did my Sabbath day yesterday. And yesterday I had this thought that, wait a minute, I should readdress something that just kind of happened and we all agreed on it quickly in work last week, but I didn't take it seriously enough. And it just occurred to me, this is actually a bigger deal than I realized, because I'd gotten outside of it a little bit and was able to reflect on it a little bit and think about the financial implications of it. And my mind just kind of went there. And I'm not going to fight my mind going, it's not like I can't think about work on Sunday or whatever. And so I just kind of made a note to myself and said, wait a minute, I need to go pursue this tomorrow. And so I put it on my Asana task list, dated it for Monday, and I looked at it again this morning when I started work. And it was really helpful. I was able to readdress the issue, discover what was going on, and actually made a change that mattered for the client to some degree. And I think will probably hopefully help push them forward. I just don't know if I would have thought of that if I would have been in the day-to-day of work all the time. And so by stepping back from work, it helped me to think a little bit bigger, broader, and including sometimes really broad, like what happens if this business triples in size and how do you get there? And that, as opposed to the sort of real day-to-day, how do I optimize this particular ad, this ad account, this offer, whatever, okay? Third, I think every piece of evidence suggests that rest creates better work, that there's some limitation to how much you can work. I know there's exceptions to this. People can work all the time, but it seems to me that rest creates better work, that by taking a day off, you come to work the next day more energized, more focused. I slept great last night. Like all of those things, I was de-stressed completely. And I'm not living a very high stress life necessarily with work, but I just, by doing that, I came in excited to get work done today. I plowed through a bunch of stuff this morning and was able to generate what I think was a good day of work today. Hopefully I can do the same next week and throughout the week and so on. And I think part of that is just to create some better work. I've noticed the same thing really happens even on a day-to-day level. If I try and go work 12 hours someday, I give the extra 4 hours of work from the 8-hour workday to the 12 hours I work, I tend to give that 4 hours back at least part of the way the next day. What I mean is, yeah, I worked 12 hours and maybe I got some stuff done, but the next day I work a really crappy 8 hours and it probably ends up being more like 4 hours worth of work. That happens all the time. And I think that same kind of thing happens at a weekly sort of level for myself. This is what I've noticed, at least for me. Okay. So there's some work-related reasons to pursue that. I think your work gets better when you do some rest. Now, that said, if those were all not true, I would still think it was a good idea, because I'm actually not primarily thinking about Sabbath from a work utility standpoint. And that's a really important distinction. People sometimes do this with work where you know, I've heard this with fitness sometimes, where people will say the effect of, you should work out in the middle of your work day because it will make your work better. You know, you'll come out of working out and that will make your work day better. Well, I don't really know if that's true. I think there's some studies to back that up. But even if it's not, I still think it's probably a decent idea for me to step away from work and work out at times, or to work out before work or whatever it is. Because even aside from the benefits that it may have to my work day, I'm a human and I have a body, and it is good for my body to work out. And I want to be careful in taking care of my body, even aside from the work output that it will create, because I have a wife and I have kids and I have a quality of life, and all those things go way beyond work. And so whether or not work produces better work, or working out produces better work utility, does produce other benefits in my life that I care about, because I am actually not just me. I'm not just a worker. That's not my entire purpose, and it's not my entire self. And that basic thought right there, that basic thought that you're not just a worker, that's not your entire self, is the other part of this for me that I think is really crucial. If you are looking to add talent to your e-commerce team at this point, grow your team as your business is growing, I do not know why you wouldn't look in the Philippines with my friends at More Staffing. The value exchange is really simple here. You can hire Filipino talent by paying a higher salary than most of what is available in the Philippines to those same folks, and at the same time, less than it would cost you to hire equivalent talent in the US. And that makes it a great deal for both sides, a win-win. And my friends at More Staffing can help you find that talent. They will help you recruit, train, onboard, coach Filipino e-commerce talent, people with deep resumes, wells of strategic thinking, like manager, director, executive level talent, who will come and bring tons of value to your team right away. And they will even give you a one-year guarantee, so that if that hire does not work out within a year, they will replace them for free for you. I know how good More Staffing is because I have used them for my business. Over half of my team now at this point is based in the Philippines. All of them were hired for More Staffing. They have been awesome. I love them. They're great people. They work hard and they bring tons of value to my business and to my clients. Go to morenow.co. It's morenow.co. Link is in the show notes, as always. And go get a conversation started. At least get a conversation started if you're exploring adding talent, so you can build an incredible e-commerce business. Great talent from the Philippines, located by my friends at More Staffing. It is so possible to, and this is, I think, the thing that's really creeping. And I think especially for entrepreneurs and people who have a chance to make a lot of money and to have a lot of success and all those things, it is so easy and so possible to build my entire sense of self around my work. And there's a reason for that that I think is really specific. Maybe two reasons. The first is, work actually is, I think, good. I think it's good for people. I think almost everybody's experienced this in some way. This is just one of those things that I think is intuitive about sort of human nature. Many of us have worked and experienced the pleasure and the joy of producing work that generates an outcome, solving problems in a work environment that generates an outcome, that generates value for myself and for my family in terms of economic outcomes, and experiencing the, you know, the fruit of your labors. You know, what happens when you accomplish it? This is why people are constantly creating work for themselves outside of work and calling it a thing like a hobby, like woodworking, literally right there in the word, requires a bunch of work and effort. And people like doing woodworking, or cooking, right, is like a creative output. People like doing these things because they are actually kinds of work, if you think about it. But they require solving problems and overcoming challenges and sometimes doing a bunch of things at once that are really hard and making mistakes and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But it's so satisfying. It's so satisfying to create those kind of outputs. And everybody I've known and talked to just about in my whole life knows that feeling of having that done. So I think there's this element where work is this good thing in our lives that we have this ability to connect. And if you talk to people who are retired, sometimes they will tell you that this is precisely why they hate being retired. Suddenly you've taken something away that they actually like doing, and that there's important output, and it can be really, really hard for them. This is one of the problems that people who study homelessness talk about, which is that if you're not creating any economic value, if you're not producing any value for yourself, it actually has a deteriorating effect on your sense of who you are and makes it really, really hard to come out of that. You know, it becomes this thing that eats away at you, and it's not good. It's not good. It's not good for you. It really harms you in significant ways. And so that can be a really big challenge. And so I think there's this way in which we work is this really valuable and important and good thing. But like almost all good things, right, too much of it can become a problem. And so there's that. So if you take that element that I think most of us feel in some way pretty intuitively, that work is has this sort of dignity to it and this virtue to it even, and then you combine it with this thing that's more pernicious, which is that work is really good at giving you a sense of purpose, even if there isn't real purpose there, or even if there isn't that much purpose there. Because work is full of challenges to overcome and problems to solve, there is this constant feedback loop of, you did it. You did this great thing. And in that respect, it can sometimes feel like if you've played video games where you have, you know, constant like little games to win and little upgrades to get and little levels to advance. And suddenly something happens where you just want the next level, and the next level, and the next level, and the next level. And the moment you cross one level, then there's a new one to get to. Now, that's exactly what's fun about it. That's precisely the thing that's fun, is overcoming the obstacle. But what also many people know is that if you do that too much with video games, right, it can eat up your entire life and can turn you into, create antisocial behaviors and like all these things, right? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying never play a video game, blah, blah, blah. I'm just saying, you know, this feeling like you can eat up 20 hours in a day. You finish it and you go like, whoa, what did I just spend my whole day doing? At least I've experienced that. All right, I'll speak for myself. Okay. I've had that thing where I've spent 5-6 hours sitting down, and I'm not a big gamer, but 5-6 hours sitting down, making my creative player in a baseball video game better and better and better, overcoming each obstacle. And when that happens, then I finish it and I go, wait a minute, I just like quote unquote accomplished all these things, and it actually didn't accomplish anything that was meaningful to me. I didn't really care. Once I put away the video game, I walked away from it. Then I just felt like I had wasted my time. If you know, not all the time again. I hope you know what I mean. Okay. So here's the thing. That effect that I just described is exactly what I see happen with everybody's Shopify best revenue day ever. I've talked about this a lot of times, but it's one of the things that is most pernicious about owning your own business, working in e-commerce. The moment you hit your highest revenue day ever, it is awesome for like a minute. And then what happens is immediately you think, how do I level up to the next level? How do I get to the next new highest revenue day ever? And it gives you very short-term satisfaction. It keeps you coming back for more, keeps you coming back for more. And I think that coming back for more, that next problem to solve, that next challenge to solve, is both precisely what's great about work and precisely what's dangerous. It's the exact thing that can make it so that work eats up your whole sense of self and your whole life. And in my experience, the problem with that is if you keep doing that, and that becomes the only thing that you give yourself to all the time, that actually there is a way in which at some point you walk away from the work video game and you go, what did I just do? Did I care about that as much as I felt like I cared about it at the time? Or did I just level up a bunch of things that didn't matter that much to me? And I have heard this story. Like my very favorite conversation to have right now is to talk. You might have noticed this on my podcast. I've talked with a few people. To talk with really successful people about the success they've had, especially people post-exit, and hear from them about whether or not they're any happier or different or better after an exit. I talked to one friend recently who says he knows like 7 people who had huge exits, like the kind of exit where you walk away and you buy everything you could have ever dreamed of and you live in a monster house and all those kinds of things. And he was saying, he was actually referencing that specific person. And he said, that guy actually is the most miserable person I know, because he went from having this thing to pursue all the time to getting it. And then he lost the possibility of pursuit. Now the pursuit went away and he didn't have anything else in place of that. And so once the pursuit went away, once he sold his business, he cashed out, he made all the money. Now he had no game to win anymore, no battle to fight, and it didn't matter. And so then he walked away and suddenly that didn't matter to him anymore. And so there was nothing to replace it with. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing to replace it with. And so he was just miserable. He had no reason to get out of bed every day. And it became this really, really miserable thing in that respect. Not, you know, there was no sense of value to add into the world because he just didn't have something else that he cared about. And work is so good at giving you a sense of purpose because it's goal orientation all the time, even if you don't have like another sense of purpose in your life. And my theory is that actually work doesn't do very well at deepest purpose. that it's really good, it's valuable, and we have that sense of pride in the work that we accomplish, but that actually deeper levels of purpose and meaning are not necessarily what work can deliver very well. And therefore, taking one day off per week forces you, to bring this back around to the original point, forces you to connect with some other area of purpose in your life. I think this is incredibly valuable. If what I'm saying is true, and you are not wired for, made for just work, then by taking one full day away from work every week, you have to find something else that you're made for. You have to find something else to invest in and find other things. You know, for me, I think about, again, I mentioned the things that take up my Sunday, right? Family, friends, my faith. Those things, I didn't mean to do three F's there, but there we are. Family, friends, and faith. Okay, there you go. Three F's, you can remember them, okay? All of those, I think, tie me to things that all have deeper capacity to give me something more significant and purpose in life. And I care about those. And I believe, and here's the thing, I think most people listening to or watching this agree with me about this, that they also believe that there is a deeper level of purpose beyond work. I actually think most of us have a creeping sense in some way that work can't deliver everything that people want. Now, it keeps you coming back for all the reasons that I said. And I work hard. Like, I'm not saying don't do that. I like my work. I'm proud of my work, all those things. But I think that, again, many of us have this sense that we know intuitively that there are other things. This is why we talk about the importance of family and some of that stuff, because we know there's something about my child that has a better ability to deliver something important to me than just my work itself. And this is why people also sometimes really like the idea of like reaching the FIRE movement, right? Financial independence, retire early. The notion behind that idea is that what they want to produce is the ability to spend time on things that they think matter more. Now, I think actually you take work completely out and now you have a different problem, right? Now, again, you don't feel like you're adding any value. And so that creates some problems as well. So I'm not interested in retiring and going sitting on the beach for forever. I think I'll work for as long as I can, at least in some capacity. Now, it might not be paid work. There could be all kinds of ways that I spend my time. But I think there has to be some way in which you're trying to add value to the world via your labor, you know, and via your time and your best efforts and your best mind, your best strategic thinking, all that kind of stuff. But that's the point. By spending one Sunday per week doing that, I begin to invest in those things with more seriousness. I'm building operational process with more seriousness now around the other things in my life that matter the most to me. And it's not like I never look into those things the rest of the week, but by focusing a day on those, I remind myself that's the case. In that respect, it's sort of a diversification strategy, right? If it's true that work is good, but work can be all-consuming in a way that isn't good, then one of the ways that I fight that, I diversify my meaning channels, right? By pursuing other outputs in my life. And that's what I mean by its diversification strategy. It points me towards these other things and makes me connect to them. Okay, so that hopefully gives you some sense of the way I'm thinking about this, but I want to give you one last point. And that is, I think that the thing that non-work pursuits, like relationships, three things I said earlier, right? Faith, family, friendships. I think that those things also have one more capacity to give me. And this is a baseline belief for me in life. I believe that all three of those have capacity to deliver to me deeper joy than anything else. And as you might've heard me say before, if you've followed my content for a little while, I am attempting to optimize my life for joy. Actually, in some respect, that is the starting place for this whole episode. My goal in life is to optimize for joy. I want to, as best as I can, organize the behaviors of my life around the things that are going to optimize and produce the maximum amount of joy. And so I have to begin to develop theories and strategies around what is going to deliver the most joy to me. And the place I'm planting my flag on that right now is that things that have more deeper meaning and value have the ability to do that. And I think nothing is more valuable than God. Nothing is more valuable than my family. And nothing is more valuable than my friends. And what I mean by valuable there is imbued with a sense of depth of meaning and importance by nature of being humans, or in the case of God, by nature of being God, to do those things. And so again, I organize my Sunday specifically to pursue those things because I am optimizing my life for joy. And it keeps work to some degree in its place. Now, I'm giving a lot of time to work in my life. Again, I think it's important. Don't hear me wrong. But I'm attempting to do those because I think there's also something else, which is this sense of joy. And in as much as possible, I'm doing that. Now, imperfectly, of course, right? I'm sure there are times on Sunday where I pick up work, right? Again, I'm, yeah, you see what I'm saying. But in all of these things, attempting to pursue as best as I can, the things that I believe as best as I can look around the world, pay attention to smart people and wise people around me, and think about the inputs that I have access to, I'm looking at what are the things that have the highest capacity to deliver me joy, and then trying to build, again, operational process around those things. And I believe that on once a week, I'm going to connect to those things better by totally disconnecting from work. And then I'm going to show up on Monday. I'm going to record a podcast, or I'm energized, thinking about things that I'm excited about. And I'm going to go jump into an ad account and see if I can fix it. And I'm excited to go serve my clients. And all those things will fall back into place along the way. And we'll keep going and repeat that each week with some vacations in the middle. So hopefully you relate to some of those things that I'm saying. I'm curious to hear your responses to that. But that's the way that I'm organizing things now, hopefully for the benefit of my work, hopefully for the benefit of my sense of purpose, hopefully for the benefit of my joy. All right, like I said, very different episode today than other ones I've done. I would love to hear from you about what you thought about this. I'm curious if you have similar practice. I'm curious if you have disagreements with me or agreements with me. I would love to hear about them. Put them in public on Twitter at Andrew J. Ferris is the best place to do that. If you want to talk about it there, you can email me at podcast@ajfgrowth.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, any ideas around anything that I just said, I would absolutely love to hear from you about those things. And of course, anything else that I'm doing can all be found as usual at ajfgrowth.com. But yeah, please do give me any response you have about that. Also, even if you just have any thoughts about whether or not this is the kind of topic you're interested in hearing from me about, I would love for you to tell me. I'm just curious what you thought. So as always, please do go reach out to my great friends at More Staffing, who will help you source incredible talent from the Philippines for your e-commerce business. They're amazing. I love them. Go work with them. Don't just get virtual assistants. Go get virtual professionals from the Philippines. Let More Staffing help you. Go do that. All kinds of great episodes coming up. I've got an episode with Barry Hott coming very soon to talk creative strategy with a guy who's thinking on this has really helped me as I've developed my own thinking. Barry and I are going to chat about that real soon. And again, there's just a whole bunch of great episodes coming. I have a few more interviews lined up. I'm going to catch back up with Jack Rubin pretty soon. How things are going at Purdy and Fig preview. They are going awesome. And of course, solo episodes mixed in all the time as well. Any thoughts you have, please send them my way. Otherwise, I would love to have you share this episode with somebody if you thought it was useful to you, and a rating and review and a subscription are always helpful. Until next time, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. The script with my eyes closed.